And how many of you have seen those books? I don't guess they make them much anymore. They kind of got old pretty quickly. But Where in the World is Waldo? Have you seen those? I love those things. Now, I told them this afternoon I hate jigsaw puzzles, but I love those and the little cartoons that they give you, and they'll say, what's wrong with this one? You know, what's different about this one? And you have to search it and you go, oh, there it is, oh my gosh, I found it first, I'm the one that found it first. Well, I just want to say to you this evening, ladies, I'm not going to say one thing that has not already been said in the last three sessions. I promise you, except for my own personal stories, everything that the Lord gave me all the way across the state, and it's so funny because your precious pastor's wife, Renee, I shared with the ladies today that I feel like our accents are very similar. Don't you think so, Renee? I sound just like you, don't I? You see, I grew up in North Florida. I am a Florida native, but I grew up in Pensacola, and we think that we are a whole separate state up there. When I came down to Southeastern Bible College many years ago, I told them I attended Southeastern Bridal College, and it worked out just fine for me. But at any rate, when I came down many years ago and then I interned in Lakeland, Florida as a junior high school teacher, I had not worked as diligently on my poor little southern accent as what it is, what I have done now. I'm doing so much better. Of course, now when I get tired, it just comes right back out like it was. And those children in that middle school, they just gave me down the road. Can you imagine? No, I promise I'm not going to preach like that all night. But I would like for Renee to lay hands on me so that I could call everyone to the altar as soon as the service is over. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I will give you this window into my world. My precious husband and I did meet at Southeastern College quite a few years ago. We're going to be married 30 this December, so that tells you kind of how long. And he was a North Carolina Tar Heel. And many of his friends had fallen in love with young girls, young ladies from Florida, and they would marry them, and then they would stay here. And so he and I had gone out about four or five times, and we're sitting watching a ball game, and he turns to me and he says, just out of the blue now, out of the blue. Of course, now that I know men and understand a little better, I know that he had really been pondering this thing quite a bit. You know, I'm watching the ball game, and he goes, I'm from North Carolina. And I said, yeah. Okay, they're 2 points. Woo! Yeah. He says, I love North Carolina. And I said, well, that's good. You know, loyalty, that's a good thing. I'm all about that. Good job, buddy. Great. He said, one of these days I'm going back to North Carolina. And I said, well, lucky for you, I happen to like North Carolina. No intention of ever going anywhere near North Carolina. You understand what I'm saying? I fell in love with that boy and lived up there for 25 long years. And we have only recently returned to Florida. He says that it's my turn now. And we, at any rate, so now we live in Florida, and we pastor a wonderful congregation, Garden Grove Assembly of God, over in Winter Haven, Florida. If you've ever been near Cypress Gardens, then we're just down the road. So come and visit us if you're on that side of town. One of the wonderful gifts that God has given to us is a young lady named Amanda Bach. He brought her all the way to us from Fairmont, West Virginia. And my husband teases her ruthlessly about being from the west side of Virginia, and she sets him straight with that. But I would like to ask just real quickly, Amanda, come and greet these precious ladies. Renee, could she swipe one of those microphones? Because she is, she has a word for the young people of today. And I want to ask her to share with you this very quickly.
I am Amanda, as she said, and I am the young adults pastor at our church in Winter Haven. So, Michelle, we're kind of kindred spirits like that. And something that I realized, we launched this ministry just a little over a year ago. We didn't have a young adults ministry at the time. So we launched the ministry and we were so excited and things were just getting started. I pulled together a little team, you know, and we were trying to go out in the community and pull people in. And something that just struck me immediately is that this generation, like you guys have been saying, is not looking for happy church. They won't come for food. They won't come for fellowship. They won't come for friends. They won't come for anything but the Spirit of God and the presence of the Lord. And so we hit about 25 to 30 students, and I started praying and thinking, Lord, come on, there's got to be more. We've got to get more in here. There's got to be more students. This has got to be full. You know, we're sitting in our sanctuary that seats 200. We've got 30 kids, and I'm seeing empty seats instead of seeing 30 kids. You know, I'm thinking, come on, Lord, we got to get more. We have to have more kids in here. There are more people who need you. And the Lord corrected me just so quickly and said, you're trying to bring me more people, and I'm trying to give these people more of me. Would you be patient and wait with me as I minister to them and give that to them? So we are enjoying this time with you all so much. We usually pack up and get geared up for these trips and ready to work, but this has been more play than work for us. This has been awesome. So we are definitely taking back what's going on here and what the Lord is doing in your midst. We're taking that back with us. So just know a little part of your heart will be in Winter Haven.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Just before I begin to actually bring the word that God has given to me for you this evening, a portion of this is going to be a very intimate sharing from my heart. And for that reason, I would just like to invite you very quickly. We're going to just take 2 seconds, just 2 quick seconds. I'd like to invite you to gather up your purse and just come forward, if you would, please. Just real quickly. And I know some of you probably need to stay toward the back, and that is fine. No guilt, no condemnation. Well, no, you can't come any further forward, Renee. But welcome somebody to sit with you. There are all kinds of seats right up here. Thank you. You ladies are amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Some of you have moved 4 whole pews. I'm so proud of you. That's awesome. Yay. Yay! Come on! Thank you, thank you so very much. Dun 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 bum ba dum bum ba da 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 da. I do want to tell you while you're moving too that you want to definitely buy the CD from last night, because Pastor Renee said you may not have any lipstick unless you buy that one. Honey, I got the cutest new color from Avon. I'm going to order some. It looks good. That stuff looks good. And I would urge you to pick up a CD from Michelle's teaching this morning. I said to her privately first, because we're about private things before we do them publicly, but I said to her this morning, thank you so much for bringing meat. She didn't just talk off the top of her head, which she could have done. Those of us who are blessed verbally, honey, we are never without a message. Give me a microphone and a place to stand, and I can tell it. Is that not true, Ellie? Yes, we're kindred spirits, aren't we, in that regard? Absolutely. But I appreciate that there has been solid word. It has ministered to my heart in the last few sessions. And I appreciate you ladies being willing to move. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And as I was praying and asking God specifically what He would have me to share, this just came to me so clearly. And then as everyone started preaching, I thought, Lord, they're just all preaching the whole same message. And God gave me a very specific word to share with you concerning that. Now, I have to give this disclaimer also. I grew up in a pastor's home, and my mother said to me early on, sweetheart, you're either going to cry a lot or you're going to laugh a lot. And I've just chosen to laugh. So I have a very warped sense of humor. I read all kinds of strange things and go, God, you did that on purpose, didn't you? Oh, man, how funny. I mean, you know, everybody else is going, I don't think that's funny. Well, I do. I think it's hysterical, you know. I have the healthiest liver in all of Winter Haven, I'm sure. Because laughter's good medicine, isn't it? So if I'm preaching along and I come up on something and I just laugh, you'll have to forgive me and just laugh with me, okay? That's all right. The Lord has a sense of humor. Look at the aardvark. He really has a sense of humor. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, we are told that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapons of this world, the King James says, our weapons are not carnal or natural. They are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And as I began to look at that, the Lord expounded that for me. Sherry, your weapons are not natural. They're not normal. The weapons of this world are impotent against the principalities and powers that we're wrestling with. What is it? We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we wrestle against what, ladies?
Principalities and powers.
Principalities and powers, yes. You cannot, in the midst of your struggle, put a face on the difficulty. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
However, we are people, and we tend to do that from time to time. In this conference, God is calling us to understand, to allow Him to put within our hand the dagger of love and hold on to that dagger, hold on to that weapon with His Word. The handle is His Word. I love the fact that God has been immersing us in this simple yet profound truth. And that's what He said to me as I said, Lord, everybody's preaching everything You gave me. He said, Sherry, this is a place where I am immersing them. My husband loves to tell the story about the young minister who came to the older minister and he said, I want more of God. And the old pastor said, well, follow me, son. And they went down to the river. And he said, kneel down, I'm going to baptize you. He said, well, I've been baptized, pastor. He said, kneel down there. Because he was an older pastor, you know. And he said, now I'm going to baptize you. And he says, well, is this going to give me more of God? He said, you just watch. And so he baptized him, took him and dunked him down, and he kind of held him down with his knee. Well, the little fella, finally, the pastor lets him up, and he's looking at him. He says, what do you want, son? He said, I want more of God, pastor, I want more. Pushes him back under and holds him with his knee until the kid kind of starts flailing around a little bit. The pastor lets him up. He says, what do you want, son? I want more of God, pastor. I want more. He shoves him under. And buddy, he holds him under there. He's got both knees pinning this kid until he's flailing and about to stop. And the pastor reaches and pulls him up with strength that the kid didn't know the pastor had. And he says, what do you want? Air! I want air! Pastor looked at him and he said, when you want God the way you wanted air, you will find Him. That's good, isn't it, ladies? I want to say to you tonight that I sense in my heart, as I sat on the front pew last night and wept, because the Spirit of God was massaging in my heart the truth that He is wanting to pour into your hearts. He is saying to us, ladies, this is the hour to absorb the truth. Absorb it. Take it in. Open your heart. Be responsive to the pouring on of the Holy Spirit that is taking place in this house. You have come to the keep. You have come to the secret place to seek Him out. Don't stand in that holy place and play games with the Almighty.
You did not set everything aside for just one more service. You have come on purpose to the quiet place. And He is immersing you with this simple truth. I have 2 points for you tonight. Only two. The first one is this. In our battle, in waging warfare with the enemy of our souls, understand that faith conquers fear every time. Faith conquers fear. You say, well, Sherry, that's not so profound. It's not just in those words, but hopefully by the time I finish sharing with you, it's going to bring a new dimension of understanding for you. The other day, my husband called me into his office just the first part of the week, and he said, Sherry, we were getting ready to leave. It was a long day. We were both exhausted. Sherry, come here and look at what I found on my computer. And I finished up what I had at my desk. I said, okay, I'm coming. And I go across the way, and he says, this is the world's largest dead snake. And I'm going, oh, honey, you know, I hate snakes. No, Sherry, you've got to look at this. You know, I mean, he's all man, just all man. And so I've got my hand up on his chair. He's sitting in his chair, and he's holding the clicker, you know, and he's got it going. And so I've got my hand up. Now, you got to picture this because you got to understand what's going on. I love this man with all my heart. I followed that boy to North Carolina, for Lord's sake. Lived up there in snow for 25 years. Anyway, I know some of you, wine. So I'm standing, I love him. So I'm standing with my hand on his chair, Renee, and I'm leaned in, I'm looking at his computer going, ooh, as it's scanning the body of this huge boa constrictor that they found somewhere that's dead. I mean, it's just on and on and on and on, and all of a sudden it gets right up to the head, and I'm leaning in, and it's one of those stupid jokes where it goes, wah, you know. Well, I wish that I could tell you that I just stood up and went, oh, tisk, tisk. But I did not. I was tired. It had been a long day. And when I get frightened, I jump back, and I don't know why I cover my chest. What am I protecting, you know? I don't know. But I always go like this for some reason, you know? Well, please remember that I was standing with my hand on the back of his chair when that thing went, ah! So I went, bam! And he goes, what'd you hit me in the head for? What'd you show me that for? My God, Sherry, you about knocked me out. I said, well, don't show me that kind of stuff. Well, all right, I won't. Click, click. It's just a joke. Now listen, ladies, I want to tell you something. Fear will cause you to react in ways that you typically would not. I love him. I wouldn't hit him in the back of the head just for no reason. I mean, I'd have to have a good... I'm offering marital counseling to you young ladies that are just in the throes of this. But I was frightened. I felt threatened, and I was trying to protect myself. Are you making the spiritual application that I am telling you here tonight? I would not love him. I'd rather kiss him. It's a lot more fun. You say, you're still kissing after 30 years? Yes, glory to God. I just like to say glory to all the young ladies that are going, oh my Lord, honey. At any rate, I know it. But I want to say to you, ladies, we must recognize that fear will cause us to behave inappropriately. We cannot afford to live in fear any longer. Well, I'm just afraid things won't work out. Well, I'm just afraid that it won't happen in time. Well, I love God and I know that He's trustworthy, but I really was just kind of afraid that. God, help us. It is time for us to take up the shield of faith. And understand that faith is desiring to conquer that fear and keep us from inappropriate responses. Faith, when I take up that shield of faith, it allows me to call forth a totally different response. Trust causes me to be braver than I am. It gives me a confidence. It makes me a conqueror. Michelle brought Romans 8:37 to us today. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And ladies, He gave Himself for us. You see, we choose how we're going to walk. I can pour truth on you. Renee can preach truth all day long. But until I decide to begin to absorb some of that truth, and not just absorb it, but begin to walk it out for myself. We love working with the young people through the university. We have many students. We take on about 10 every semester that we mentor, and we just pour our lives into them, and we bring them over to our house and feed them spaghetti. My Lord, I'm going to get an extra star for all the spaghetti I have made. We love being able to pour our lives into them, but do you know we've had some of them walk away with, well, that wasn't really an experience that was worth my while. Why? Did we treat them differently? Did we not give them the same information? No, they didn't absorb. They couldn't position themselves to receive, or they really just had heard it already. Now, ladies, as I say to you that I'm not giving you anything new tonight, I want you to understand that there must be some reason. I preach at a lot of different venues, and when the Lord gives me the word for that venue, I know when I don't have it, and I know when I do have it, and I know that I had this already on Tuesday. Was when He locked it in. And so whenever I sat and listened, I was going, Lord, did I miss you? Would you just like to twist some of that? You want me to change it up? And He said, no. I am pouring. I am immersing. I am giving them truth so that we can stand upon it, ladies. He is desiring to make it real in your heart that faith will conquer fear every time. The second point that I have for you tonight is that love conquers lack. Love conquers lack. Psalm 34:9-10 says to us, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. And in verse 10, the second part, it says, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Now, I said to you that I was going to share a bit more of an intimate part from my life. And you'll see why I sat on the front row last night and wept. Because very early in our ministry, my husband and I, we started out teaching 4-year-olds. We went to the church on Main Street in Lakeland, Florida as newlyweds, and we said to the director of Christian education, we want a job. We're zealous for the things of the Lord, whatever you want us to do. They gave us a Sunday school book, a catcher's mask, and they shoved us into a room with 40 4-year-olds. Wow. 40 4-year-olds. I look over, and I promise you, I had never been around little boys very much. I look over, and they had these round tables because that was really cool in the 80s, you know, the early 80s. Way early 80s. They had these round tables, and this little boy, He's up in the middle of that table. His shoulder is right in the center of it. And he's taking his little tennis shoes and he's going around the outside edge like this. I was going, Frank, Frank, you know, is that natural? Is that child possessed? What's going on? A few Sundays later, you know, we're kind of getting in the swing of things. And so he's listening to this little girl tell her Bible verse. He's listening to the Bible verse while I'm getting everybody together for snack. And so all of a sudden, in the middle of the Bible verse, the little girl remembers, oh, I got new panties. You want to see? He goes, Sherry, Sherry. That's kind of how we got baptized into ministry. Thank God. Well, I started to say things have changed, but not so much. It's still strange, isn't it? It's just on a whole different level now. That's just different ways. But as we began in ministry, I was so zealous and I really wanted to do things right for the Lord. And, you know, my heart was just there. And it seemed like the longer we served in ministry, the worse I got at it. I just never seemed to get it quite right. And we went from serving in Sunday school to being associate pastors. From associate, we pioneered a church. I seemed to always be stepping in it. Is that okay to say? You can bleep that later. Finding difficulty. There we go. I was stepping in it all the time. And we had moved to the coast of North Carolina, and we were pioneering another work, a second work, and after many years in ministry now. And I was homeschooling three girls, and we were trying to pioneer this church, and I was trying to be a good wife and a good mother and a good teacher, and now I was teaching their Sunday school class, so my Lord, if my children messed up, it was all my fault, because I was their teacher, their Sunday school teacher, their missionettes leader, and their pastor's wife, you know, and their mom. Good Lord. They didn't stand a chance. And how many of you know that family can really point out some issues in our lives? Amen. Better than anybody else. And this was Thanksgiving, and I had gone home to my parents' home for a visit, as we were trying to raise our three girls, I told this afternoon, they came along very quickly, all three, in less than 5 years. And we would go to visit my husband's family, and they would say, they're from North Carolina, and they would say, Sherry, you got to quit spanking them children. You beat them all the time. If you don't quit spanking them children, it's going to be the devil to pay. You got to quit spanking them children. And then we would go to visit my family that had been pretty stringent as I was growing up, and they would say to me, Sherry, you got to start spanking those children. If you don't start spanking them, it's going to be the devil to pay. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I was just ready to pull my hair out with all this wonderful advice I was getting. This visit to my family had been especially tough for me, you know, kind of pointing out, well, you know, you've visited your family, haven't you? That's why we all gather together in church. We got to have a safe place. Somebody say amen. This particular morning after the visit, I was sitting in my prayer chair about 4:30 in the morning. And I was just weeping uncontrollably because I was so torn up. You know, comparison and measuring yourself, it is like a ruthless bird of prey. And it will claw at your chest until you are in shreds. And that's where I was that particular morning. And I was weeping and saying to the Lord, Father, I'm not measuring up. I'm just not making it, Lord. I'm, I'm not doing what I need to do. I could rehearse everything that I was behind on. I'm not an administrator, and so I was rehearsing things that had to be tied up at church, a lot of loose ends, and I was aware of things that needed to be taken care of with homeschooling, and I had just spent this time with my family, and they had pointed out some areas of improvement that needed to take place. And I was especially heartbroken because of some words that my father and I had shared. And I just wept. I was so broken that morning. And I got up to walk into the kitchen, and my husband had gotten one of those newfangled interpretations of the Bible. He's a minister. He just loves every new, you know, he's got to have one to see if he likes it. And he had gotten a copy of this new translation called the Message Bible. And it happened to be laying open. And as I'm weeping, I literally felt the Holy Spirit say to me, pick that up. And I went, I don't want to be, I'm mad that he bought it. I was mad that he had bought him a new, it was leather bound, for heaven's sake. And so I was really needing to be working on being a wife, you know. I was failing in that area too. And I was just weeping so, and the Lord said, pick that up. And Amanda, I can't see it, so you're going to, it just so happened that Amanda had a copy. I want you to hear Psalm 45, verses 10 and 11.
Now listen, daughter.
Oh, wait just one second. Is she on? Let's try this one. This one is?
Now listen. Oh, just kidding. I'm a liar.
One, two. That's okay. Do here.
Now listen, daughter. Don't miss a word. Forget your country. Put your home behind you. Be here. The king is wild for you.
And I said, excuse me? And he said,
the king is wild for you.
Now look, in every other translation that you will read, it says the king is captured by your beauty, or the king is exceedingly pleased with your beauty. Well, see, I had never considered myself a beauty. Mary Kay is my best friend. I do all I can with Mary Kay and then hope for the best, you know, after that. And so when I would read Psalm 45 verses 10 and 11 through the years, it really didn't mean that much to me. But that morning, when I picked up the Message Bible, and when I was grieving over not only not measuring up as a wife, not measuring up as a mother, not measuring up as a pastor's wife, not even measuring up as a daughter, the King of Glory said, listen, daughter. How many scriptures start with a feminine reference? Very few. Listen, daughter, forget all of these things that you're worrying with. Be here, for the king is wild for you. I want to say to you, ladies, that scripture so permeated my heart. I sat there and wept for a whole nother hour, reading that out loud to myself again and again and again. And over the next few days, I began to research that passage. And I'm not going to take time to take you to all the different places. I would urge you to do the same. But as I referenced that and as I researched it, what I found out was that this actually alludes back to another Mosaic law, a passage further back in the Old Testament, a Mosaic law, a direction for when they would go in, when the children of Israel would go in and take a village. They were allowed to capture some of the young women if somebody caught their eye at this particular point in the scriptures. And the story that is alluded to is as though this king, this prince, had gone into this village and he is ravaged. Did you hear them sing that tonight? This is the Watch Where's Waldo thing. They sang this tonight. I just stood on the front row and smiled. It's the illustration that is given to us out of Matthew Henry is as though a young prince has gone into a village and he sees this young bohemian beauty who would not be considered beautiful to just everybody else. But he looks as she guards some, or as she tells others to run, as she tries to protect her territory. And he says, that one, she's the one. And she is brought back to the keep. And she is given her own room in the palace. And she is told, the scripture says, forget your homeland. Because can't you see this wild young woman standing, looking out the window, wondering what her family is doing? I wonder what's happening in the village over there. Looking out the window at her past. When the king is standing at the doorway to her chamber. Read on down. It says, I will have them create garments with threads of gold woven into them. He stands with wedding garments and he is knocking. And the young woman is given the choice to either continue looking longingly. Now look, he could bust in the door. She's his. But he wants to woo her. He wants to draw her. He wants her to understand that the power of his love is greater than any lack that she used to experience in that village. Oh, ladies, the King of Glory is calling to us tonight. He is standing at the door of your heart. And some of you have had that measuring bird of prey ripping at your hearts. And you've been singing and you've been smiling and you've been trying to confess and you've been trying to walk forward and you've been trying to make steps forward in the kingdom of God. And every time you make two steps, I love Chuck Swindoll's book that he wrote many years ago, 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. And we make 3 steps, and the enemy comes along and he says, yeah, but I remember what your past was. And it knocks us back. And we regroup, and we come to a conference like this, and we get our feet under us, and we say, I'm never going back down that road again. I'm not giving in anymore. And we walk 5 steps forward, and the enemy comes along with a well-meaning friend who inappropriately uses fear disguised as the dagger of love, and we find ourselves 3 steps back. Ladies, I want to say to you tonight, his love for you is unquenchable. His love for you is unquenchable. His love for you cannot be extinguished. His love for you is not capable of being ended. I'll read for you again Psalm 34, 9 and 10. You will lack no good thing. I love the illustration from one of Beth Moore's teachings. She says that when Mary took the anointing oil and broke it open and poured it over Jesus' feet to anoint him, and then it was her dowry, and I don't have time to go into how precious that was to her personally. You know, we think of it like, okay, yeah, here's some of my favorite perfume. I'll just open the bottle and put. No. This was irreplaceable in her life. It could not be replaced. She was breaking it, never to regain that again. She broke it and she poured it over him, and then she took her hair and dried his feet as she wept, washed his feet. And you know, we see that as just the giving. Never forget that when she stood up, the fragrance of that oil mixed with the fragrance of Christ Jesus was in her hair. And everywhere she walked, she carried that fragrance with her. Isn't that amazing? You see, when you dare to embrace the truth, the incredible truth of His love, when you begin to embrace that, look, I'm aware of what the world is like right now. We had a life group two Wednesdays and nights ago, and they were ready to build bomb shelters. Things are not looking good. I'm planting a garden. Well, I'm thinking about a bomb shelter. My Lord, people, we live in Florida. How far down can you dig before you're going to hit the water table? Yeah, just a little piece of information there for those. You might want to go up, but not under. I don't know, but I mean, you know, they weren't thinking of that, of course. I'm aware of what the world is. Do you know what? That causes me to know all the more. This is my hope. This is my salvation. Not just my get out of hell free card. Ladies, my God, do not cheapen the work that was done on Calvary. We are coming up to Easter. I plead with you, do not let a bunny and a cute basket be the focus for your children and grandchildren. There was a price that was paid. That price was the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate giving of one out of love. It was not out of obligation. He could have wiped the world clean and started over again. But He said, I want to pour into them. I want to pour into them. I have tonight in my hands a bottle that's far too small for you to see, most of you, from where you are. That's another reason why I asked you to get a little closer. It is beautiful. It is just exquisite to be so tiny. And I love the fact that God makes us new. When we accept His Son, He makes us new. And you wouldn't be here on Friday night if you had not already done the accepting of the Son. And you've been made new. And you are beautiful. The King is wild for you. Would you just say, the King is wild for me?
The King is wild for me.
Now, that was a great phrase, but now I want you to internalize that. Say it with me again, please. The King is wild for me. He's not captured by your beauty. He's not taken with anything that you can do. Let's say it again together. Here we go. Ready? The King is wild for me. That's permeating somebody's spirit in a special way. And so we just need to say it one more time together. Okay, ready? Here we go. The King is wild for me. He has made you beautiful. But you know what? This bottle is incomplete because it's empty. It's empty. And we've all come to conferences and we've gotten filled up and we know the importance of being filled with the Spirit. But I want to say to you, this is a new day. You don't only need to be filled with the Spirit. Scripture says, be ye being filled with the Spirit. Because today, ladies, it's no longer time for us just to absorb, though we must absorb. It is also time for us to take in what He is giving us and be ready to be poured out, spilled out for the Master's use, for the Master's service, being that fragrant pouring out of His impeccable love, His love that will look in the face of adversity and say, I'm not going down with this ship. His love that will look in the face of the enemy who's trying to rally your children, try to steal your children, and say, I'm not going down with this ship. I'm going to pour out the love of God. I'm going to let Him pour it into me. I'm going to learn how to take this word and not use it for my own purposes, but I'm going to learn how to effectively wield the dagger of love. Just a few short weeks ago, I got a phone call that my precious mom was just not doing well, and I'm going to tell you the short version. I stood in the hospital in Pensacola, Florida, the first week of November, the first Tuesday of November. On Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock, the doctor said to me, I believe she has brain tumors. You probably need to wrap your head around the fact that you have 6 to 9 months with your mother. And 4 weeks later, I was standing by her casket. I didn't even have 6 weeks. 4 weeks later, and during those 4 weeks of being there and loving on her, my little mama, who had served God for over 50 years, she loved words, Renee. She was an incredible wordsmith. She lost her ability to communicate. And I would pull scriptures and I would read over her She would lift her hands because she's my little AG mama. You cut us, we bleed A's and G's, you know, at our place. And she'd lift that hand. I would pray over her in tongues, and I'd wrap my arms around her, and she would just press her head in. In those 4 weeks, when there was such fear in those big brown eyes, she would look at me, and I was trying to communicate as best I could, and we really didn't even understand how much she could understand. And I would sit in that hospital room at strange hours waiting to try to get to see the doctor to get firsthand information. And I was just struck with the fact the only word mom can ponder now is what she's already hidden in her heart. The most frightening hours of her life, all she had was what she had hidden away. I urge you, ladies, get hold of this sword. I urge you, get hold of this sword. Learn to use it. Learn how to work the issues of this word. Learn what He is wanting to say to you. Learn what He's wanting to say to somebody else. Ladies, it is time for us to be willing to be poured out on this world. I find it so interesting that this bottle has a flame on the top of it. Is that so cool? It has a flame. And I want to say to you, you say, well, Sherry, what did you mean love conquers lack? I know what this world looks like. I know what the days look like. I know that I would love to try to protect my children. I can't protect them. I can't. But I am holding the hand of one who can. And as I trust, as I latch hold of the truth that the King is wild for me, suddenly I am less fearful, and I begin to understand that His love over me will conquer any concern of any lack that could come about. Well, Lord, You don't know they took advantage of me. I love You with a perfect love. Then I don't have to be concerned about what they did. Father, I'm afraid we won't have enough. We won't be able to. I love You with a perfect love, and I would never let You lack any good thing that You needed. Then I trust in You, Father. If You ask me to let go of it, I must not have needed it as badly as I thought. Now, you see, that's where we get mixed up in American theology. We think that if He doesn't give it to me all in the neat little package that I originally requested... Somebody say amen or oh me. We had people all over the country, around the world, praying for my mom, and I had a I had to look up and say, you love me. You love me. I will not lack any good thing. You love me. You are trustworthy. In this hour when you have said no to me, you are still trustworthy. Your love for me hasn't changed. I will walk in confidence. I will walk on in confidence. Ladies, some of you have got to choose to get up and walk on in confidence.
Yes.
Some of you have been laying on your face waiting for God to take his magic wand and make it better. And I want to tell you, he may not do it the way you want it. But he is still trustworthy. And his love for you is not diminished when he has to say no. When he has to say no to me, it's because he sees a greater good. Now look, I know how to preach a swing from the chandelier message. I know how to get us all up and shouting. That would be unfair to you in this hour. In this hour, we must develop spiritual courage that says, if you slay me, yet I will trust in you. If you tell me no about this, yet I will trust in you, and I will sing of your goodness, and I will tell of your greatness to the next generation.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I will tell of your goodness. Now, ladies, if you're in this room and you sense God stirring you in such a way, would you please stand very quickly? Just very quickly. He's stirring you. He's been stirring you. Yes. Renee, could we have somebody come to the piano, please? Some of you need to be reminded tonight. You need to write Psalm 45:11 from the Message Bible in the flyleaf of your Bible, and it needs to say, the king is wild for me. That was written hundreds of years ago, and it has not changed when it gets to 2009 in DeLand, Florida, where women have gathered to say, King of glory, I invite you to come in. I throw open the door of my life and I say to you, be in charge. Teach me of your love. Teach me of your love. Some of you need to be better equipped. Some of you have not yet been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I can't think of a better time or place to receive that marvelous infilling. If you've been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have not yet received that wonderful experience, I just want to invite you, whenever we move in just a moment, I want to invite you to come over to this side, and we're going to have people. Pastor Renee has trustworthy people who will pray with you. We're not going to spit on you. We're not going to roll you around on the floor. I mean, if you roll around, it'll be your doing, not us. There will be trustworthy people to pray with you. This is a safe place, ladies. For the rest of you, I urge you to come to this altar tonight and say, King of glory, I am wild for you as well. Grant that I may absorb the truth of your power and your love. Father, I pray over these beautiful women before they ever move. And I ask, oh Lord, that you would just drill into us the truth that fear will try to overtake us, but you have made provision. You have said to us, my faith will conquer fear every time. My faith in me, the faith that I am imparting to you, will conquer fear every time. And Lord Jesus, I also pray over these beautiful women that as we become as the sons of Issachar and we are wise and we look at the times about us and realize it is indeed a new day, God, may we take on the truth of love. And may we put aside concerns of lack. God, I thank you that you will fill us fully this night with the understanding of your incredible love and that it will conquer any concerns of lack in our lives. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for filling us tonight. It's in your beautiful name that we pray. Now, ladies, come and meet with the lover of your soul, would you please? If you're wanting to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please come to this side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.